What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Doctor's Office podcast, where you get your proper diagnosis and prognosis and everything comics and comic book characters. And we are still in Black History Month, so I wanted to go ahead and do another comic book characters you may or may not know about Black History Month edition. And we are talking about Armando Munoz, aka Darwin, from Marvel Comics. And he is a bit of an anomaly, if I must say. So Armando was born different from different children, or from other children. By age 4, he was bald, his arms were longer than normal, and his eyes seemed to change. His father, Hector, abandoned them around this time, and his mother blamed Darwin for his mutation, even though that's definitely not something that he was able to control. He grew up in the face of rejection, with even his own mother despising him, but he didn't hate her for that. I really can't imagine why you're pissed off at your child, but okay. He did everything he could to make her love him, and a day came when he was asked to take an IQ test. Unknown to anyone at the time, Armando's desire to impress his mother subconsciously activated his mutant power and allowed him to test off the charts. He was quickly enrolled in a renowned boarding school, the Biltmore Academy for Advanced Education, but he was sent away mostly because his mother still hated him. Imagine? Like, what? Although his teachers loved him, he was bullied constantly by the other students, and one day the bullies put his head in the toilet, and Armando noticed that he could breathe underwater. He lifted his head out and began fighting back, feeling his arms become tough, almost like cement when he punched them, and the bullies fled, but Armando, like, never brought up what happened. His mother then became a heavy smoker, and one night she fell asleep with one of her cigarettes still lit, accidentally setting their house on fire. Armando carried her out unaffected by the flames, to the astonishment of the firefighters and the paramedics, and tests were done at the hospital. Scientists were brought in, and Armando was told he was a mutant and was nicknamed Darwin the Evolving Boy, after Charles Darwin, of course, because he seemed to adapt to every condition the scientists could think of. For example, they placed him in a pitch black room, he gained night vision. And there were even lengthy, like, reports published about Armando. And it's interesting how they accept him being mutant when they're able to experiment on him, but not otherwise. You know what I mean? Unfortunately for him, his mother continued to reject him, denying that she would never give birth to such a thing. Dejected, he attempted to commit suicide by jumping off of the roof. Instead, he became so light and soft that he almost bounced when he landed on the ground. After talking about what happened with the school psychiatrist, he was told that someone who works with other kids like him had read about Armando and was interested in meeting him. And this person turned out to be Moira McTaggart. Okay. I'll take that, as long as it's not Charles. Moira recruited Armando as one of her fosters, and he was the first in the team, along with Vulcan, Petra, and Sway, to attempt to rescue the X-Men from Krakoa. Now, while Petra and Sway were killed by Krakoa, Darwin and Vulcan were swallowed in the earth by a combination of Sway and Petra's dying powers. Darwin absorbed the remains of the two girls and then converted himself into energy to fuse together with Vulcan. And then this gave Vulcan powers of Darwin, Petra, and Sway and enabled him to survive in space, albeit in a dormant state. Imagine having, like, the presence of mind to turn yourself into energy so that you can survive. Absolutely fucking wild. Years later, when Scarlet Witch did the whole M-Day situation, no more mutants, and depowered almost all of mutant kind, minus 198, the mutants who got depowered had their energies expelled from their bodies, and these energies had awakened Vulcan. Rachel Summers managed to separate Darwin's presence from Vulcan, who then took off for space. And while dealing with the shocking revelations of the truth about Krakoa and Vulcan, Beast found out that Darwin was, in fact, still alive. He was brought back to the Xavier Institute, where Beast determined Darwin was now a being of just pure energy. And while not conscious, he was shown to still have brain activities and was alive, located at the X-Mansion. Which works. And once he was separated from Vulcan, his abilities, empowered from the energies from M'Day, caused him to develop a physical form once again. Again, the presence of mind, even while being unconscious, to form a body because you, like, evolved into pure energy is absolutely fucking crazy. Now, when the X-Men, including Warpath, Havoc, Polaris, Marvel Girl, Nightcrawler, and Professor X, left to go hunt down Vulcan and stop him from destroying the Shi'ar, it was revealed that Professor X brought Darwin with them, with the hope that his friendship with Vulcan would help. When the Shi'ar agents abducted Professor X, Darwin followed and secretly jumped onto their spacecraft as it fled. After successfully rescuing Xavier from his captors, Darwin was on his way to freedom when Dakin was revealed to be alive and well. And then he ended up being recaptured and failed in his attempts to rescue his mentor, and then ended up having to accept Vulcan's offer of becoming his best man at his and Deathbird's wedding, which is crazy in and of itself. He was obviously against the union. He attended the wedding in shackles, and he was caught in the crossfire when the X-Men and Starjammers attacked. Vulcan then trapped Xavier in the McCrann crystal, and Darwin followed him into the depths of the crystal and rescued him. And then they were all sent back on a ship by Lalandra back to Earth. Now, during World War Hulk, Darwin was one of the X-Men who heeded the call for help when Hulk came to the Xavier Institute. While fighting the Hulk, he evolved the ability to absorb gamma radiation. However, he found that the gamma radiation supply the Hulk had was more than he could drain, and his body determined at that point that the best way to confront the Hulk was to not confront the Hulk at all, and he gained teleportation powers, which promptly teleported him out of the path of destruction. I've seen some people say, why would he run away? It's not that he was trying to run away, but his body is what his body evolves to keep him from dying. So if something is going to kill him, his body is going to evolve so that it won't. During the Messiah Complex, he reappeared to fight along with the X-Men against the Marauders, the Purifiers, Predator X, and Cable. And then sometime after the birth of the first mutant since M-Day, he went in search of Professor X because of the rumors that he was still alive. And while searching, he encountered Nogor the Talisman, who was a Skrull that was impersonating Longshot. In Detroit, they were attacked by She-Hulk and Simone DeJinda, who were trailing Nogor at that time. Meanwhile, Darwin's father hired X-Factor Investigations to help him find Darwin because he felt bad for walking out on him and his mother when he was younger, which is weird and suspicious. The reason it's weird and suspicious is because after they got reunited, he only wanted to hand him over to this thing called the Karma Project. And then he was saved by X-Factor and agreed to join the team. After joining X-Factor, he helped save Lenore from the assassination attempts of Cortex. He relocated to New York City. He rescued Invisible Woman from Dr. Doom. And he fought Bolivar Trask and his MRD. After inadvertently handing Pip the Troll over to Hela, the X-Factor crew journeyed to Las Vegas to rescue him. And in Vegas, they encountered Hela's undead warriors. And with help from Thor, the team held their own, of course. But the key to winning this battle was Darwin taking on gaining Hela's powers and using them against her. Fucking fire. You guys don't understand. Unfortunately, taking on Hela's death powers had negative effects on Darwin, who chose to leave the team for a sabbatical. While wandering in the desert, he experienced a dream or vision during which he battled the dragon-like Sirish and encountered a sheriff named Tyr, who claimed to be the son of Rain Sinclair. And then, of course, armed with this unsettling information, he made the trek back to New York to warn his friends. Later on, he began hearing voices telling him about Tyr, and Darwin decided to kill the child himself instead of approaching his former comrades about it. He began hunting the child, but was prevented from killing him by Tyr's guardian, Werewolf by Night. In Pennsylvania, he had successfully incapacitated Werewolf by Night and cornered Tyr, only to be thwarted by the interference of Venora and Richter. Although momentarily caught off guard by Richter's restored mutant powers, he remained determined to continue to track Tyr and kill him. And then he ended up being compelled by forces beyond his understanding, and continued to track Tyr through to New York City, where he tried to meet with X-Factor. However, Darwin arrived at the X-Factor Investigations headquarters, and he lacked the nerve to actually kill Tyr. And this was because he was, because he was unable to kill Tyr to avert the Hell on Earth war, he elected to rejoin X-Factor to fight the Hell Lords. After the Hell on Earth war, he was separated from the others and traveled back to Las Vegas to find Hela and force her to fix him. While searching for Hela, he encountered a recently resurrected Monet. The pair had a one-night stand, and afterwards, Hela found Darwin, but he refused her help, which is odd, but okay. You went for her help, and then you find her, and you don't want her help anymore. Crazy. Following the establishment of the mutant country in Krakoa by Charles Xavier, Darwin became one of the countless mutants to settle in the new nation. When a group of X-Men were sent to the Vault, a place where anyone trapped inside could remain there for thousands of years, to capture Serafina, the three mutants selected for the mission were Darwin, Sink, and Wolverine, who at the time was Laura Kinney. And this was because they would be able to survive the temporal changes inside it. As soon as the three of them entered the Vault, they lost touch with the X-Men. During their first day, while engaging the Children of the Vault in battle, Wolverine and Sink killed most of their foes, while Darwin's head got caught in a water bottle from Sangri. After seeing her teammates killed, Aguja angrily killed herself by projecting a force field that destroyed everything around her in an attempt to kill her foes. However, Darwin and his teammates recovered, with Darwin recovering due to his adaptation powers. The team then spent 100 years inside the Vault gathering intelligence on the children, and Darwin's adaptation powers slowed or prevented him from aging, and learned that the city could resurrect any children that were killed through cloning in order to continuously evolve them. City became interested in Darwin's powers and captured him so it could learn how to create a new generation of children. Wolverine was also captured. After Sink fled and returned to the Vault with 100 years passing by, he rescued Wolverine, but during his rescue of Darwin, Darwin was supposedly killed by City so it could use his power to create a new generation of children. Now, Sink and Wolverine were later killed by the children, but Sink was able to make telepathic contact with X, or Xavier, and ensure everything they learned about the Vault was passed on to his resurrected form. Wolverine and Darwin were also resurrected, and it was later revealed that the original Darwin and Laura both survived the Vault. During Forge's rescue attempt, Darwin communicated with him as a living code. So, he's still alive. Now, his powers are evolutionary adaptation. So, of course, you know, whatever is happening, his body can adapt to it. He also has limited continuous evolution, immortality or near immortality, proactive adaptation, psionic body code, telepathy, technological undetectability, and he is a death harbinger. Now, he is Afro-Latino. His father is Latino and his mother was African-American. And I felt bad for him having such a crappy childhood, honestly, but it seems to be the way of anybody who is a mutant, and it goes to show that the world, whether it is in comic books or out of it, is really not so different. Darwin is one of my favorite characters because his power is so different, but one thing that I've never really liked is how they put him in these situations where he is supposed to be killed or seemingly killed, knowing good and well that that is not his power. One thing I will never forgive is when 20th Century Fox did X-Men First Class and Darwin was on the team and they killed him. What is going on? Because literally he cannot die. I have never been so disappointed in a movie. I mean, I've been disappointed in plenty of things that Fox does, but I have never been so disappointed in their lack of representation for this character. It's like they didn't even know that he couldn't die. They just put him in the movie to have a black person in the movie, which was absolutely wild to me. Hopefully, Marvel does do some more justice, and hopefully they do bring him back to where he does have a full form again. He was able to pull himself a form out of becoming, like, after he had become living energy, now he's a living code, and I feel like he should still be able to create a form of himself. So, well, that is it for this episode of the Doctor's Office podcast, and happy Black History Month.